gentlemen, it is showtime!
You're listening to the Dirt Racing Podcast.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dirt Racing Podcast as we recap speed weeks for both sprint cars and late models. First, let's start with the going on saga with the ASCS 360 series. Justin Fiedler will have two reports from Dirt Tracker Daily shows about it. Then I'll come back with my thoughts and an update. This was from a week ago. Actually, a week ago. Wednesday. So, this is what happened with ASCS. And it.
Show off by addressing the current situation around the American Sprint Car Series. I was hoping to wait until things were a little bit more clear before we talked about this, but I've been getting a ton of messages about it, so let's just get into it. Rumors are flying at the moment about the future of the 360 National Series and all of the connected regional sprint car tours. The 2024 national schedule is slated to kick off March 1st and 2nd at South Texas Race Ranch in Corpus Christi, but things are very murky at the moment, and that event could be close to changing structurally. Terry Maddox assumed control of the ASCS from Emmett Hahn back in 2021 and has operated it the last two seasons. But it sounds like Maddox's time at the helm has come to an end and that the Hahn family is back in the mix in a major way. This has been playing out for a while, but over the last several days has ramped up significantly and it's finally started to leak out onto social media, which isn't a surprise given how many tracks and drivers are affected by this. I spent some time on the phone yesterday with a 360 car owner that's involved in this. I've seen a bunch of text messages and I've heard all of the same things that others have. This is an area where things are very fluid right now and it's a situation that will continue to evolve in the coming days and weeks. Chatter on the internet points to a possible sale of the ASCS to Dirt Racing's main player, but it sounds like those rumors might be a bit premature. I'm not saying a sale won't happen or that it's not possible, but I've gotten the indication that we are still very early on any of that. 360 Sprint Car Racing was supposed to be a less expensive way to go racing a sprint car versus a 410, but the rising costs of everything have changed the balance. The cost of a 360 engine isn't all that different now than a 410, but yet 360 payouts are usually quite a bit less. So the economics of a traveling 360 tour have become increasingly difficult. What any of this means for the 2024 ASCS season and beyond, nobody actually knows at the moment, regardless of what they post on a Facebook group. Again, the rumors are rampant. Some of them are oddly specific, but nothing has been settled, and there are way more questions than answers at this point. Hopefully this all gets resolved in a positive way, because Sprint Car Racing is already trying to deal with splintering at the 410 level. Issues with the ASCS will only add to the unrest that we are kind of dealing with currently, so stay tuned.
Then Sunday's update.
Before we close out today, just a couple of updates on the ongoing situation around the future of the 360 ASCS. In recent days, Terry Maddox has removed references to his ASCS ownership from his social media accounts, and changes have been made to the contact page at ASCSRacing.com. At the moment, only regional coordinators are listed. There's no longer any reference to Maddox as owner, and Brian Hulbert's name has been removed. Obviously, Hulbert off to announce for USAC this season. As for this coming weekend's ASCS National Tour Open at South Texas Race Ranch, it seems as though that is in serious jeopardy. The event pages on the racetrack website no longer list the ASCS as a division competing, and all ASCS races have been removed from the RaceAndDirt.tv streaming schedule. There was some possibility that the opener would become just an ASCS Gulf South Region event, but that might not be happening now either. Just a few days ago, the Gulf South Region posted to Facebook that their 2024 schedule was still on for all non-co-sanctioned national events and that they would release an updated schedule soon. They also shared that the South Texas Race Ranch event was still on and that it would be for Gulf South points. The problem, though, is that that post has now been deleted. Several of these social media rumors also had pointed towards some sort of announcement on a sale of the ASCS supposedly happening late last week, but as I said when we talked about this on Wednesday, that was all premature, and the week came and went with nothing official being announced. Supposedly a meeting or meetings happened last week with Emmett Hahn, but I have not heard what, if anything, came out of those meetings. This will be a situation we will continue to monitor going forward, but for now it sounds like the early part of the ASCS schedule is not looking good. All right, that's it for...
Then on Monday, the worst news was given.
Off today with some news around the ongoing ASCS saga. I talked on the Sunday show about several signs that were pointing towards the opening weekend at Corpus Christi's South Texas Race Ranch being in jeopardy, and now we know the fate of that event. The ASCS announced here just a little bit ago that the season opener for both the National Tour and the Gulf South region is in fact canceled. There was no acknowledgement of what's actually happening behind the scenes, with the release just mentioning, quote, several unforeseen circumstances. They also said, quote, work is ongoing to preserve the 2024 season. Not exactly confidence-inspiring. But as we've talked about, Terry Maddox is out as the owner and operator of the sanctioning body for the 360 Sprint Cars, and the Hahn family is back at the helm. We do know that. Rumors have pointed towards a possible upcoming sale of the American Sprint Car Series assets, with some claiming that a deal was already in place for World Racing Group to acquire it last week. But no sale has happened as of yet, and I'm told the process is ongoing to resolve the future of the organization. The next two events on the 2024 ASCS National Tour schedule are set for March 15th and 16th at RPM Speedway in Texas, and there is hope that the event could still happen, so stay tuned, friends.
Now, my take on the ASCS, this could be bad. Real bad is for most of the country, because most of the country's 360 rules are based off of ASCS. So we would like to thank Justin for the help with that. And hopefully Justin will be on sometime on the show. You can search for Dirt Tracker on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If any breaking news happens, we will break it on our Twitter page, and if we need to, we'll come do a special show about it. So stay tuned on the ongoing ASCS saga. Now we'll shift gears and talk with Ben Shelton about the late model speedweeks. Welcome back to the show, Ben Shelton, to help us, our dirt late model guru, on the recap of the late model 3 weeks. How's it going, Ben?
Oh, it's going good. Just recovering after a very busy January and February.
And we started at Golden Isles 1 with the late models, which was a good show.
Yeah, it was a good time. The first night was real good racing. Second passing was a little bit more challenging, but was still an entertaining event and good way to start off the year down there in January.
And then we moved to, where did we move to? That's what I'm trying to think.
Yeah, we left there and we went to Ocala Speedway and we had a couple races there. And then from there to Alltech Raceway in Lake City and then to East Bay Raceway Park for the final Winter Nationals there.
And I want to talk more about East Bay because I like how Swally did that one show, the rain out one. That was instead of having to go day show.
Yeah, instead of having to do a day show or lose the show altogether, we just made it up over the course of 3 nights Monday rained out, so Tuesday night we did qualifying after the Tuesday show was complete. We did Monday's qualifying after that, and then on Wednesday we did heat races and B mains, and then on Thursday night after the show was done, we did the makeup feature. So it worked out, made for some long nights, but it was better than a daytime show, and we were able to get that show in and not have to write it off, so it was a good deal.
And East Bay goes out with some good racing.
Yeah, it does. You hate to see it go away. It's always the good tracks, but it went away with real good racing. And of course, the final night there, it was kind of a storybook ending. Dalton Wilson got his first ever Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series win, and the final Winter Nationals late model event there ever. Of course, we'll go back in October for 3 Lucas events every second week of October to for the final super late model races ever there, but there won't be any more Speed Weeks races ever there, so it was a very emotional way to wrap that up with great racing.
And then we have to talk about Rigsby's call.
Yeah, he did a great job at Ocala. Dustin Jarrett was under the weather, and so Rigsby called the Thunderstocks. He called the whole show, but he did the Thunderstocks both nights at Ocala Speedway in the final night. He added a little money to the purse, and he and James Essex had a call for the ages. It was one to remember. Just a good time. I think none of us will ever forget that.
And then a few weeks is so long. It's been a lot of racing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. You know, I didn't even do the last weekend at Golden Isles. I came home, but even with that, I was down there for 25 days. I would have been down there, you know, over 30 if I'd stayed for that. So it's a lot of racing. It's really busy, but overall, you know, it's a good way to start the year.
Yeah, and then guys last Saturday just looked tired towards the end.
Yep. Everybody, you know, it wore them down pretty much, which is also the reason I came home. I didn't have another week in me, and a lot of those guys, you know, only one of the races got held because the other Lucas race rained out, and I think they were all glad to be done and be home until, you know, later in March when they race again.
And then Ricky Thornton had a good speed weeks until problems.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good car throughout and just had some bad luck there, and but he's going to have a big year. He's still going to be a favorite for the championship, and you know, even with some bad luck, he comes out of there with the points lead with Lucas Oil Series, and I think even if you know you don't get as many wins as you'd like, he's still the points leader after the first 13 races or so are completed. I think that's you got to take that as a positive as you get ready for the rest of the year.
Is Davenport going for the title?
He doesn't know yet, but I think he is. But he's gonna see how the next the races there in March and April play out, and he'll go from there. But I have a feeling he's gonna go after it again this year.
And then Volusia, it was after East Bay, so with the Outlaws.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Volusia actually started the deal before everything else kicked into gear. They ran first down in January, and you know, Hudson O'Neill and Devin Moran getting wins down there, and then, you know, we come back and had a good week of racing. The finale got rained out, but, you know, up until that point, you know, it was still a good week of racing. Devin Moran, you know, picked up another big win there. And, you know, Bobby Pierce got his first Gator Championship and went to Victory Lane a few times. And you know, it's always a good time to go to Volusia. It's just a really good racetrack.
And some different people on the drive home when you had it that week.
Yep, we mixed it up a little bit. We had everybody in there, but of course, you know, just about every night it was myself and Michael Rigsby, and, you know, we had Derek Kessinger for part of it, Kevin Kovac, Tim Truex from Loud Pedal, you know, we had Tyler Rinkin, Josh James, my wife even made an appearance on there, so, and Rigsby's wife one night made an appearance, so yeah, it was fun to have different people on the drive home to, you know, just kind of switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, but what's your ideal speed week for next year? Because I've heard several different options.
I really don't know yet. I still got to evaluate everything I saw this year. And, I don't think anybody really knows what it's going to be. I mean, we know what the Outlaw part's going to be with Volusia, but we don't know how East Bay, we know East Bay's not going to be part of it. We don't know how the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series part's going to fall. But, it's still a lot to be determined. And at this point in time, I really don't know that I can tell you what I think the ideal situation is. But I know those guys, they're all smart. They'll figure out, you know, the best way to do it. And we'll see how it all plays out, see what kind of adjustments they have to make for 2026, depending on how next year goes.
And then we come out a few weeks, and you mentioned it's an off little bit of a break with the Lucas Oil and...
Yep, Lucas and the Outlaws are off. They don't race again until... the weekend of March 22nd, 23rd. So all those guys get a chance to catch their breath and get ramped up and ready to get after the main part of the season.
And then, when does Cashel start?
We start the second week of May. We'll start with Illinois Speed Week, and we'll go to Spoon River there on May 8th, and Speedway in Illinois, Lincoln Speedway in Lincoln, Illinois on Thursday, May 9th, and then after that, the next two nights will be Farmer City and Fairbury with Lucas Oil Series. So, definitely looking forward to a good year for the Castrol Series.
No major changes on that end?
mean, we got a few things we're working on right now that will come out in the next month or so, but you know, we right now it's one of those deals where it's not broken, so we're not going to try to fix it. We're going to keep it the way it is, and you know, just have a good time with it. And I don't want to make we're going to make a few tweaks I think fans and racers are going to like, but again, we'll be announcing those in the next month. And you know, just want to have another good year. We're going to have a few less scheduled races. We had 13 scheduled last year, and this year we're going to do 10. I just think there's too much racing, so we're trying to cut back a few dates on our end and still have a really solid schedule, but not, you know, not racing more than we have to and make it as good as we can for racers, fans, and sponsors.
Then is the future going to be we see more of this combo with the Lucas Oil and the High Limit down the road?
You know, I don't know. I think they're going to see how this year goes. Again, you know, they're trial and error right now, and they're going to see what works and what doesn't this year. So I'm not sure exactly how all that'll play out. I know that, you know, they obviously both like to, but until they have some of these events, we're just not going to know. But I know from a fan standpoint, it's pretty cool to see them there together on the same night.
And I want to go back to the question of the night for the High Limit. Who's on your Mount Rushmore sprint cars?
All time?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's, I mean, obviously Steve Kinzer's the, you know, the king. He's on there. For me, you know, Sammy Swindell, I would say, you know, you got to put Donnie Schatz on there. And I would say just because he helped put the Outlaws on the map early on, you know, Doug Wolfgang, I mean, that's my Mount Rushmore.
A lot of the younger guys did say Schatz.
Yeah, I think Schatz, and I think, you know, Brad Sweet's definitely going to make a case for himself before it's all said and done. But right now, probably just the OG guys, Sammy, yeah. Steve, and Wolfgang, and then Schatz. I mean, he's, you know, he's a 10-time Outlaw champion. He's won the Nationals 11 times. You got to put him on there.
And then did you see the news with Logan Seavey's going to be driving a late model?
I did. I think one of his first races might be my first Castrol race. So we'll see how all that plays out. But I'm hearing one of his first races, so we're excited to see that.
And somebody that got better on Speed Weeks, Snowdrift.
Yeah, Blair Nodorf, he had a real good one. I was glad to see him. He's paid his dues, and he's gone down there and taken his lumps, and glad to see him doing so well.
How many rookies are we going to keep for Lucas Oil?
You know, both tours will probably end up with, you know, a couple, maybe three. I mean, it's hard to say that a lot of guys say they're going to run it, and then you really don't know until you get up into June or so and see who's sticking with it. So, but, you know, I think the Outlaws got a chance maybe to have a one or two more than Lucas, but I think Lucas will probably end up with a couple, and, you know, the Outlaws probably with two or three.
And then one thing I noticed on the schedule, which is going to be a nice difference, and I've been it's outdoors away from Knoxville.
Yeah, they're going to separate those, and hopefully it'll make it better. You know, again, it's hard to say. There's just so much racing anymore that, you know, you don't know how it's going to play out. But, you know, it'll definitely be interesting to see.
And plus, that's the end of the roads for the title, I think, if I'm looking at it right.
Well, that's when it'll set the Big River Steel 4 will be after Knoxville. So then after that leads into the 7 championship events.
Which, that's a welcome change because we know how last year played out.
Yep. Now it is, and, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a good deal, and it's going to spread it out over 7 races, and, you know, I think that, you know, definitely over 7, you're going to know who the best driver is, so I think that'll be a better deal than having it all determined by one.
Who's the next on the list of Lucas Oil that could get their first win that's due?
Probably, you know, right now, probably Garrett Alberson. You know, he had one of his best speed weeks, and I'd say that probably out of everybody, probably, you know, Garrett Alberson. Or even though he's not a regular, you know, Brian Shirley still hasn't ever won a Lucas race. I think those two both had fast starts of the year, so, you know, one of those two probably be my lead contenders.
And then let's wrap up on this. Your top 4 you're thinking on Lucas Oil, for sure.
You know, if I would say that probably, I mean, obviously, I think it's going to be hard to bet against Thornton. And then I really think Davenport will run the tour, so I think he's going to be in the mix. Of course, you know, Hudson O'Neill. And then, you know, the fourth one, it's hard to bet against Devin. I mean, I think it can look very similar to what it looked like last year when maybe, you know, if Tim McCree can get some momentum post-speed weeks, he can move into the fray. But I think those four are probably the ones that I'm watching the most. And who knows, maybe a Dalton Wilson or somebody can move in there and, you know, kick one of the favorites out.
And then I want to talk about Tyler Erb's comment of the other night about his shoes, because that's been a topic of conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he ran them at the Dome, and the safety crew went down there, and, you know, they're SFI rated, so they're legitimate. They were made by, you know, one of the companies that makes safety apparel, so they are legitimate safety apparel. So, yeah, I mean, it had people fired up, but it was legitimate.
And then that in his Hamburglar uniform.
Yep. That's you gotta love that, man. That's just vintage Tyler Erb.
I don't know any other questions. We appreciate you coming on.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and as always, if you need anything, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Now it's time to talk about sprint cars from 360s, the 410s, and the non-wingers. Then another hot topic is on the Wickerbills.
Since 2024 sprint car season has gotten underway for the national tours, one car element that has been under scrutiny has been the Wickerbills on the wings. If you remember back in early January, the Word of Outlaws announced they were going to try a 1-inch Wickerbill at several tracks this season, including the opening stretch at Volusia during Dirt Car Nationals. High Limit also went this direction, with 1-inch Wickers being mandated for that series for their first few events. But after several races now, it's starting to sound like maybe the change is not having the desired effect. The hope initially was that reducing the Wickerbill size would lessen the effect of dirty air and allow cars to follow more closely. It would also take away some downforce, maybe unhook the cars a bit from the racetrack. The idea then being that we'd see more passing and better racing. And if you aren't sure what a wicker is, check out this image. Wickers are pieces of metal placed along the back of the flat part of the wings to catch the air and add additional downforce. So where you can see the arrows pointing on this picture of Kyle Larson's car. But so far, with four races complete on both the High Limit and Outlaw sides, the drivers are not convinced. I spoke with a few at Golden Isles who think the series should go back to 2-inch wickers, and the conversation has now spilled out to social media. Bomasito posted yesterday to Twitter that he thinks the dirty air is actually worse. Parker Price Miller said he thinks they should move the front wings forward to help dirty air. And High Limits competition director Mike Hess acknowledged he's heard similar things from other drivers. The Outlaw release on the trial did say that they would gather feedback and evaluate everything before making any official rule change. No word or indication on if the 1-inch bill will be in effect this coming weekend as the Outlaws return to Volusia.
For the non-winged USAC Stars, they went to Ocala first on February 9th and 10th, where Justin Grant picked up both victories. And then Volusia for a doubleheader on the 12th and 13th, which the 12th got rained, their race feature got rained out. So on the 13th, Logan Seavey doubled up on the wins. Then we went back to Ocala for the final three races, where the 15th and 16th got in. On the 15th, it was Justin Grant again, and CJ Leary picked up the win. And it was rained out at Ocala. Their next race is April 5th at Terre Haute Action Track. Points for the sprint cars after it's Logan Seavey, your points leader. Points leader with 462. Second, CJ Leary at 424. Third is Kevin Thomas at 400. Fourth is Justin Grant, 388, and fifth, Dazen Pursley at 331. If you're wondering where Brady Bacon had a terrible speed week and is in 11th place in the points, for the Wolf of Outlaws Sprint Cars kicked off on the 7th of February, and it was a high limit winner in victory lane. The press there was Brad Sweet took the win. Tyler Courtney finished second. Second in that one. Landon Crawley was the quick timer that night. Then the 8th, David Gravel picked up the win. Win for the Outlaws. And then the next night, the 9th, Tyler Courtney sneaks past Rico Abreu to pick up the win. So High Limit won again, if you're saying High Limit drivers, if you're keeping track at home. On Volusia, Landon Crawley was on the pole, so good things out of the side's racing team. Team so far. And then the finale, it was Sheldon Hochschild won the race, but David Gravel got the big gator. So their next race will be Volusia Sunday and Monday. It kicks off a busy month. In the points, David Gravel is leading by 10 at 572 over Gio Selzy at 562. Then tied for third and fourth is Brad Sweet and Tyler Courtney at 558, and Rico Abreu is fifth at 552. For the 360s at East Bay, for the Ronald Laney Memorial King of the 360s on Thursday night, it was Aaron Reisel, your winner. Tim Schaefer, second. Devin Borden was third. Fourth, Terry McCarlin. Fifth, Justin Pack. The next night was Austin McCarl, your winner. Second was Danny Martin. Third, Davey Frantic. Fourth, Justin Pack. And fifth, Tim Schaefer. And then for the Ryan Timms picked up the big win and the $10,000. It was Ryan Timms, your winner. Second, Tim Schaefer. Third, Austin McCarl. Fourth, Davey Sams. Fifth, Aaron Reitzel. And they had a good car count up the upper 50s or high 50s, low 60s for each night of that. High Limit, where they've scheduled to take on East Bay the Monday night, the 12th. 56 cars went through the heat races and qualifying before the rain came and made it the finale on, made it to Thursday, where Kyle Larson, off of his championship, picked up the win. Second was Cole Macedo, third Tanner Thorson, fourth Brad Sweet, and fifth Anthony McCary. And also on that Tuesday, there was 58 cars signed in. And it was Sunshine, Tyler Courtney, your winner. Second was Corey Day, third Brad Sweet, fourth Zed Wise, and fifth to Brett Marks. And then they take off a couple weeks and wrapped up at Golden Isles on the Thursday night, where 26 cars are in attendance, and it was Tyler Courtney again winning. Second was Brett Marks, third Justin Peck, fourth Parker Price Miller, and fifth Spencer Raston. And then last Saturday night, 26 cars again took to the speedway with late models. And in a thriller, it was 25 laps, but Justin Peck, Tyler Courtney, and Jacob Allen traded the lead back and forth in a count miles, and it was Allen led. But those three cars were putting on a show, as your winner was the Tyler Courtney, or Jacob Allen, excuse me. Second, Tyler Courtney. Third, Justin Peck. Fourth, Rico Revere. And fifth, Spencer Raston. So your points after four events. That are. So right now your top five in points is Tyler Courtney with 273. Second, Brad Sweet, 255, is 18 back. Third, Brett Marks, is 251. Fourth is Spencer Mason at 236. And fifth is Corey Day at 229. Their next action will be Riverside on Tuesday night for the midweek Race Money Series, race number one. We'll have that. We'll cover all the midweek races like we did last year and some select others, as we cannot guarantee that all the races we will cover with the 59 schedule, race schedule. On my Mount Rushmore Wing Sprint Car Racing, right now, three are deadlocks. That would be Doug Wolfgang, Steve Kinzer, Sammy Swindell. And right now, the fourth's always going to be interchangeable, but right now, I have Brad Sweet at number four on the list. Before we go, this will be the only show, most likely, for March. Unless we decide to come back with one, or the ASCS situation continues. And if you're a Dirt Draft player and you noticed they have social contests, and we've been having them for all those 3 weeks, those contests will continue on Dirt Draft, because it seems like it works great. So if you don't have the Dirt Draft account, you could get one. And I think subscribers still get a free t-shirt, I believe, new subscribers. So check them out at dirtdraft.com and start playing today. We'd like to thank Ben Shelton for coming on the show, Justin Fiedler's help with the ASCS stuff, and always, thanks for listening to the Dirt Racing Podcast, as this has been another edition.
Thank you for listening to the Dirt Racing Podcast with Marshall Hayne. Follow us on Twitter @dirt_podcast or on Facebook. at the Dirt Racing Podcast.